Amen. Pastor Chris, we are so grateful to God for you, for our partnership over all these years with Cornerstone. And I know you just clapped, but Valerie Rance, let's give one more welcome to Pastor Chris.
Thank you so much. Certainly it is a challenge working with a microphone.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fell off the air.
God bless you. Thank you so much. It is truly a joy to be back with you again this year. And although the situation is a little different, we thank you so much for Valley Ranch Baptist Church for the amazing ways in which you have worked to help us to be able to provide Christmas to many needy families in the community. Thank you so much, Deacon Charles Jones. His story is the same of about 56% of the grandparents in the South Dallas Fair Park community who find themselves having to raise grandchildren and to really impact their lives. And so they are kind of our unsung heroes in the community, taking on the responsibility of impacting their children's lives. And then as you heard through the King's Academy, many of those who are being served are coming from single family homes. We're up to 51 children. This is our second year going currently from pre-K 3 through second grade, and all of those children, we're really excited, will be a part of the Christmas store and the blessings that you will provide assisting those families. Our elementary school, which is in the community, is 99% free lunch eligible, and so it is certainly a community in need, and particularly around the Christmas time, and so we thank you so very, very much for how your gifts graciously are helping us to serve and impact a community in need. And we could not do it for 21 years now, without your amazing support of walking with us to help us to demonstrate Christ's love to many who are in crisis in very tangible ways. And so thank you so very much. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've provided. And we pray now that as we shall look into your word, that you would challenge and inspire us through the truth of Scripture. Father, we thank you so much for our friends here at Valley Ranch Baptist Church, and we pray that you will continue to bless and keep them in your care. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we want to look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, a psalm of thanksgiving, and talk about an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. We certainly are living in a different world than we were this time last year. Things have certainly changed. We have seen in our world challenges after challenges. It has been a world that has been really shaken up. And since it is a world in crisis and a world with many complexities and challenges, there's a tendency for us to look at what's going on and really complain about all the negativism, all the challenges that we are seeing played out before our very eyes. It is very easy to wonder what in the world is going on and to find fault. In fact, some in our world have come to the point they're saying, please stop the world, I just want to get off. I've had more than my fair share, I've had more than enough. I thought 2020, which was supposed to be a year of perfect vision, has really turned out to be a year of my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare. Job loss, confusion, all kind of divides in our society. So much that we could spend our time complaining about in our world. And I think Psalm 107 is a challenge to us that instead of looking at what's going on around us and complaining about all the things that we could complain about is to really pause, to really sit down and have an attitude of gratitude as we reflect over the many things that God has done for us and the many things that not only has God already done for us, but the things that he will do for us, that God has always been faithful. God has always been faithful. And so we don't want to be in a situation where we find ourselves complaining. There is a song that we sing at our church called I Won't Complain. And in it, the songwriter writes, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I think about and sit down and think about all that he has done, all the things that he has done, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. And so I won't complain. I won't complain. I will develop an attitude of gratitude for all the many things that God has done for us. And I think that's clearly seen in Psalm 107. Because in Psalm 107, it is believed that the psalmist is writing to the children of Israel as they have been delivered out of Babylonian captivity. They have gone into captivity under the Babylonians because of their hard-headedness, because of their stubbornness, because of their waywardness, because of their movement away from God. And God has a way of using trials and temptations and testings to get us back focused on where we need to be. The children of Israel find themselves in captivity by their enemies, by their foes, for 70 long years. Early on, they had been told by false prophets that the captivity would not last that long, a couple of years, and you will be out of this thing. But Jeremiah writes to them and says, no, it's going to be 70 years. Now, as the 70 years have come to completion, as God has once again proven himself faithful and have brought them out, after they have had experience and trials and testings and situation and negative circumstances, one after the other, he challenges them to think about, as you reflect back over all that you've been through and all that you have experienced, to really realize that God has been faithful every step of the way. So he begins this psalm in Psalm 107 by a congregational call in Psalm 107 verse 1, a congregational to give thanks. To just be thankful, to have appreciation for all that God has done. In fact, over and over, in fact, if you look at Psalm 106, it begins the same way. Give thanks to the Lord. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we are challenged to have an attitude of gratitude for all the things that God has done for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we ought to be thankful and worship God acceptably in reverence and fear. Scriptures like 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, give thanks to God, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, while he's in the midst of a dungeon, don't know if he's going to live or die. He writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And so here in Psalm number 107, the psalmist looks at the congregation, those individuals that have just come out of a tough situation, and says that we are called to give thanks, to have an attitude of gratitude to God. Why? He says two reasons. Number one is because God is just simply good. Demonstration and good means he is just a gracious God giving us what we don't deserve. He is a God of grace giving us those things that we should not deserve. But not only should we give thanks to God, because God is a God of grace, giving us that which we do not deserve. But the text goes on and says that his mercy or his love, he is a merciful God. And whereas grace is when God gives us those things which we do not deserve, mercy is when God withholds from some stuff that we should have gotten. But thank God that he allowed it to pass us by. Kind of like Psalm 23, goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. God's grace and God's mercy. And the psalmist writes as he looks over the lives of them after all that they've experienced. And he says, let me tell you about something about God's goodness and mercy. They endure forever. They are always there. Just again, like Psalm 23, following us all the days of our lives. God is always giving us stuff we don't deserve and withholding stuff that we should have gotten. In fact, as he looks at these believers who have gone through a hard time, and he, as he looks at them, in spite of their experience that they have experienced for the last 70 years in Babylon, in a strange land, he says, God has brought you out of that circumstance. And so let the redeemed, those who God has brought out of a tough situation, let those who've been delivered, let those whom God has proven himself faithful to, tell their testimony, tell their story. Not be ashamed of where God has brought you from. How he redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, from those who could have destroyed you, have taken you out. The good news is the story did not have to end the way it did. He goes on, he's been faithful. No matter where you are, God was able to meet you there and to bring you where he wanted you to be. In fact, it goes on in this verse, he gathered you from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, God's grace is able to meet you there. God's mercy is able to meet you at that point of need, to bring you out and to bring you out all right. Even in the midst of a pandemic, God has not forgotten us. God has been faithful. And as someone has well said, what doesn't kill you certainly makes you stronger. God has been very faithful as he writes to these believers. And he reminds them of four areas of God's faithfulness. Four areas where they have struggled, but God has demonstrated his ability to bring them out of a tough situation where all hope was gone, where it seemed like there was no way out, where their back was against the wall, when they had high mountains to climb, when they were in the midst of some tough situations that could have taken their lives. God proved himself to be faithful. And he shares those in four areas in this passage. Notice verse 4. Number 1, some of y'all, he says, some of you wandered in some very desert situations. You were in a dry place. You were in a wasteland that seemed hopeless. You were out there wandering. In fact, he says, you finding no way to a city where they could settle. And in the midst of that, in that desert situation, in the midst of that wasteland, in the midst of that hopeless situation, the text says you could find they could find no city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. And they're alive. Seemed like it was just slipping away. God, I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. That's one situation that they were in. They were in a dry place. And there are times as we journey through life that we find ourselves in a very dry place, in a place where we're lonely, in a place where we're wondering, in a place like we feel like we're just walking around in circles, in a place where we feel like we're in a rat race, and the rat seems to be winning. You were right there. in a very dry place, a lonely place in your life. That was one scenario which they found themselves. Another scenario in which they found themselves, it is in verse 10. They were locked up in prison. Verse 10 says, some of y'all, where some were in a desert, some in a dry place, some of you were bound. You were in darkness. In fact, not only were you in darkness, in a dark place, but the text goes on, verse 10, in utter darkness, in some of the very lowest places of your life. You were in prison, suffering in iron chains. You were there because you rebelled against God's command. You despised the plans of the Most High. And so he subject you to bitter labor. You stumbled, and there was no one that could help you. Another hopeless situation. You were bound up. You were wrapped up, tied up in a life that had you captive. And that's a bad, and what we've discovered is the worst kind of prison to be in is the prison that has no bars. How many individuals we know are in prison? In prison because of their past. In prison because of addictions. In prison because of decisions that they've made, bound, can't get free, wondering how I'm going to make it from one day to the next. Some of you all were in the desert alone. Some, he says, were in prison, bound up, couldn't get free. Your addictions, your lifestyle. You had a ball and chain on you, and you felt as if you just couldn't move in freedom. He goes on, some of you were very sick, and we realize that all sickness is not because of sin. But what we've discovered as we've worked with individuals, their lifestyles have caused them sometimes to find them their bodies being racked with pain because of the decisions that they were made, that they've made. Verse 17. Some of you were somewhere in the desert. Some of you were in prison. Some of you, verse 17, were in a place of sickness. Verse 17, some of you became fools through your rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of your iniquities. You didn't even want to eat. You loathed food and you felt like it was going to kill you. Again, another hopeless situation. Appetite is gone. Feeling all alone, depressed. And you know what he says caused you to be in this plight? Your rebellious ways. But he goes on, and finally, as he moves this scenario through the fourth area where God has demonstrated his faithfulness and their plight, verse 23, some of you were on the stormy seas of life. You went out and on the sea in ships. They were merchants on mighty waters. You found yourself in the storms of life. And he says, as you were in the storms of life, they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful works, deeds in the deep. He spoke and he stirred up the tempest and on the high winds, and they mounted up to the heavens. And then they went down to the depths. They reeled in there because of being in this sea, this storm of life. And as someone has mentioned, there are three areas. Either you're on your way to the storm, in the midst of the storm, or coming out of a storm. They found themselves in the midst of the storms of life, going up and down. If they were out of control, it was out of control. And notice as they are in control, in their peril, in their plight, the text says, verse 26, the latter part, their courage began to melt away. They thought I could handle this. But they found themselves in a storm that they could not handle. As they are in the midst of that thing, they felt, what's really going on? I'm in a daze. They staggered around like drunken men. And the latter part of verse 27, they were at their wits' end. And the word there means they had used all the wisdom that they had could think of. How am I going to get out of this mess? I can't figure it out. Kind of sounds like our world right now. How do we get out of this mess? Those are three tough circumstances that they found themselves. Four tough circumstances that they found themselves in the desert, alone, thirsty. They found themselves chained and bound, locked up in prison. They found themselves in rebellion that caused sickness in their lives. They found themselves in a tough situation on the stormy sea. And they just couldn't figure, how are we going to get out of this mess? What did they do when they found themselves in those circumstances? What did they do when they found themselves with their backs against the wall? What did they do when they found themselves all alone in a dry place, in a lonely place, no one to talk to? What did they do as they carried around the ball and chains of life that had them shackled? What did they do when they were sick? Even on the stormy seas of life. The text said they did the same thing in each circumstance. If you notice, they're in the desert. Verse 6 says, while they were in their desert, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. When they were in prison, what did they do? Verse 13, they cried to the Lord, and he saved them from all their distress. What did they do when they were sick and caught up in their rebellious ways that they found themselves in because of nobody's fault but their own? Verse 19, they cried to the Lord, and he saved them out of their distress. What did they do as they were on the stormy seas of life? Verse 28, they cried to the Lord, because what they discovered is that when you are in a tough, trying, hard circumstance, if you cry out to God, he will come to your rescue. Sometimes in church growing up, when leaders would pray, they would start out their prayers so nice. Oh God of our Father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God who super rules heaven and earth, God, you're so high we can't get over you, so low we can't get under you, so wide we can't get around you. And they would do a lot of long introductories to prayer. But I discovered that when you are in a tight situation, when you are in a situation where you don't know how you're going to make it, and the pressure is weighing you down, you don't have time for all that. What you do is say, Lord, help me. They cried out to God. Someone said what they did was pushed. They pushed. And by push, they means they prayed. You until S something H happened. They prayed to God. They took seriously the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we just won't carry everything to God in prayer." It was a way that God used the circumstances that they were facing to get them back to a posture of prayer, to recognizing who he was. You've heard it probably quoted many times in the midst of this pandemic that we're in. "Lord, when we gonna get out of this stuff? Lord, when we gonna get out of this jam? When we gonna get out of this mess? When we gonna get out of this hard time? We've had more than enough. And in March, we thought it would end in April. In April, we thought it would end in May. In May, we thought it would end in June. In June, we thought it would end in July. In July, we thought it would end in August. In August, we thought it would end in September. And Lord, we see no end in sight. In fact, instead of things getting better, seems like it's getting worse." And you've heard 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. God says, "If I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people," if they're going through a hard time, "if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land." God was able to use those circumstances of them being in the desert, of them being in prison alone, of them being in a situation of rebellion and found themselves in sickness, in the storms of life. To cause them to make their way back to God in prayer. What happened when they called on God in their hopeless situation? They were in prison. They were in the desert. Didn't know how they were going to get out. Well, notice verse 7. "He led them straightway to a city. He answered their prayers." What happened when they were in prison, when they called on God and acknowledged him, he brought them out of darkness, even utter darkness, and he broke away those chains. He gave them freedom. What did they do when they were sick and they called on God and began to look to him? He let them sacrifice. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and rescued them from their grave. He healed their bodies. What did they do when they called on God when they were in a stormy sea, in the storms of life? When they called on God, verse 29, he stilled the storms and whispered the waves, and the sea were hushed. And they were glad when it grew calm and he guided them to their desired haven. And so what should we do in light of God's faithfulness as we call on him? Because the connection between them being in a tough situation and them getting delivered was a commitment to fervent prayer, a commitment to calling on God. And so what does he challenge them to do? Verse 31, let them give thanks, have an attitude of gratitude for God's unfailing love, the word hesed love, his unconditional love, his love that is always there, his eternal love. We sing this song, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things that I should. But I like the next phrase that says, Jesus even loves me when I'm bad. Although it makes him very sad. His unfailing love, give thanks to him because of his wonderful deeds for mankind, individuals that did not deserve it. He was there for them. So he says, as he closes this psalm and we close our time, let the one who is wise, those who hear, those who are wise and want to gain an understanding about what is really going on, let them heed, let them hear, let them ponder the loving deeds of our God. Let them think about, as Philippians chapter 4 reminds us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And the challenge that Psalm 107 reminds us is that we might be in a pandemic right now. We might be going through a hard time, and there are times where we sometimes don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. We might be in the midst of a desert place, alone with no one around us. We might be in the midst where we feel shackled by our burdens of sin. We might be in a situation where we feel because of our rebellion that we're even having physical issues. We might be on the storms of life, but as we call on God, he will come to our rescue. And as he did over and over and over in Psalm 107, not will he only bring you out, but he will bring you out all right. So the challenge of 107 is that you and I would have an attitude of gratitude for all the many things that God has done. Been a tough year. But just as the Israelites discovered, when God brings you through this storm, he will bring you out with a testimony. There's a song we sang, Marvin Sapp, I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. But now that I've gone through the experience, I'm wiser. I'm stronger. I'm better, more, much better, because it was you, God, who brought us through. So, Father, we thank you so much, and we pray that you would help us to have an attitude of gratitude. And if there's someone who might be listening who don't know the God that is able to bring us through, that you would help them to have a personal encounter with you as they commit their lives to you and turn to you, that they too might experience firsthand the blessing of knowing the only true God. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you.